Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. We're here live at the SiriusXM studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas. And I have all the champions here today. The champion of the secret, her name is Marie Diamond. She's been pouring into communities, changing the way they look at things so the things they look at change. Marie, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And our business champion, the incredible Bill Walsh. Thanks for
always an honor to be here.
And our anchorman, Dr. Stefano Sinacropi, the amazing spine surgeon and philosopher. He has a new book coming out named
Wellness at the Speed of Light.
Wellness at the Speed of Light. And I was honored to write the foreword to that book. I cannot wait until it to come out this summer. Anyway, we have the ultimate champion. You know, I have been around some of the greatest athletes, including my business partner, Warren Moon. And there's something that Warren Moon never got to do, although he holds every record and is probably still the best throwing quarterback of all time. Only black quarterback in the Professional Football Hall of Fame, but he's not a Super Bowl champion like CJ Anderson, Super Bowl 50 champion and retired NFL Pro Bowl running back. Now he's doing something much more important. He's pouring into our youth. He's the head coach of Benicia Panther Football. Welcome back to Office Hours, CJ Anderson.
How you doing, man? How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Look, you know what amazes me? Devin Hester, you, Marshall Faulk, and the list will go on and on. You guys could do anything. You went to Berkeley. You have a graduate degree from Berkeley. You're a great entrepreneur. I've invested in you and your companies, and you made a choice to give back to the community in, I think, the most substantial way, because with all the schooling that you and I went through, at the best schools in the country, by the way, I learned more from my high school football coach and my high school football experience that formed me and has helped me. Why did you make this decision to turn around and turn away all that money, fame, et cetera, and get back to the ground to help these kids?
Well, I think that's what you just, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I think I learned a lot from my high school coaches that formed me and groomed me. For me, a lot of kids grew up in the same predicament that I grew up in, right? Single parent home, right? Mom's working multiple jobs, right? Raised in a certain environment in the neighborhood, trying to stay off the streets. So I had those were my male mentors, my high school coaches. And now I'm in the community now, different than where I was. I'm back in my own community now, literally 10 minutes away from my hometown in Vallejo out here in Benicia, where a lot of those kids from Vallejo comes to Benicia High. And I get to be that outsource and that outlet to them as somebody was for me. So I try to let them know I'm no different than you guys. And obviously a lot of them know about my career and success and those things, but I try to let them know, like, it all started here and with hard work and dedication and, you know, having the right mindset and trying to put these kids in those positions so they can live their dreams as well as I did mine.
So, yeah, an amazing career, and also you're an amazing human being. And so what are, like, the values that you cherish in sharing, but also in being as you're, you know, coaching, supporting all these young people?
So I would say what I love to give, I'm just a big servant. I love serving. I love helping anybody, right? I mean, I'd help Dave, even though I feel like he never really needs my help. But I've helped Dave.
I know you're there, buddy.
Thank you. That he's been a part of. And I think that acts of service is the ultimate leadership. Having that acts of service and how you spend that acts of service is the ultimate leadership. And I think that also helps with my being inside, right? You know, you want to be kind, right? Want to be gracious, want to give mercy, want to give grace. You want to do those things because, you know, you do go back, especially in the field that I am now with these, you know, 14 to 18 year olds. You know, we have all three different levels at our program at Benicia: freshman football, JV for football, which is junior varsity, and then varsity football. So I get a lot of the freshmen that comes in, and I'm like, I remember when I was 14, wet behind the ears, and didn't know anything. So I think that the acts of service has been huge, and you know, that's why as a teacher, like, you guys see me in the classroom right now, but I'm not a teacher. You know, I've been blessed by the school to give me a classroom, and I told them the reasons why is to check their academics, right? To people can see my face on campus. We're now at lunch, you know, we got the volleyball girls, the flag football girls, the basketball team. We have a bunch of people that comes in here because I think all of them need help, right? Not just my football team, but all our youth need our help, right? You hear that the youth is the future, right? I've heard that plenty of times. I was a part of that youth that's being that future now, and then obviously I'm trying to build up the next generation.
So what would you advice would you give to other athletes that are now leaving the sport? Let's say they're looking at retirement, right? What are the tips you would give them to have the same passion that you have for what you're doing? How do they find that next chapter? Because it's so hard to go from massive limelight, making all this money on the TV every weekend, to now all of a sudden nobody's there. So what are some tips you would give to those? And the second thing is, what would you recommend that parents could do to make sure that their kids are more prepared when they come into sports?
So the first one of the tip is find what you're passionate in. I knew about year six, year seven. I kind of heard while you guys were on break that when I got cut and I was like, man, I'm done and I'm finna just jump into my business and what I do, consulting in that world. And, you know, Dave was like, nah, these teams need to run it back. If you think that way, you push yourself that way, right, you put yourself there. That helped. Obviously, I got to the Rams and we went to Super Bowl 53. Obviously, that didn't work out. But I was coaching Todd Gurley and I was coaching Christian McCaffrey as a player, right? Just giving them tips and giving them things that I'm doing and I'm seeing what they're doing on the field. And I'm like, oh, that works. So that, I found that passion right early. I think the answer to your first question is, what is that passion, right? Are you using your football platform to find your other passions outside of football? And that's something that I've done. I mean, not only meeting Dave, but like there's Gary Vee, right? And there's Hiro Rodriguez and Dan Springer, who was the CEO and co-founder of DocuSign, and Keith Kroc and Sridhar Ramaswamy, who was watching 60 billion ads of Google. He was working at Google at the time. Now he has a venture capitalist. I have a bunch of connections in Silicon Valley where I fell in love with tech, but then I knew teaching and coaching is something that I love to do too. So I think that's kind of what I would tell players today. Like, are you using your platform? And don't get me wrong, young players today, right? I get it. You're going to go have fun and splurge and houses and jewelry and you're going to do those things. But at some point when you're in year six, year seven, year eight of your career, are you using your platform to get around certain getting in certain rooms that you are very passionate about? So the transition that much easier, because obviously mental health is huge for us in our game. And then to the second question with the parents that's coming into sports, it's be very, very right, selective and very supportive of whatever that high school coach or that youth coach is going through, because a lot of it is their time, right? They're not making crazy money. And it's really not about the money, but a lot of it is their time. They're invested in your kids. And I think what I try to tell my parents at our parent meeting every year, the two I hold, right? I try to let them know, like, I'm just like you guys. I'm an extension of you guys. So my phone and my email is open for you to communicate to me. However, right, I want the best version of your kid, just like you want the best version of your kid.
That's right.
So when it comes to my domain and what I do well, which is football and recruiting and understanding that, I need you guys to trust me, right, and not try to, right, go behind my back or say something different that.
So you don't need any parent coaches, correct?
How I'm saying it.
you don't need no more parent coaches.
Different than, like, I won't go behind your back as a parent. If you have morals and values,
that's right,
right, that you want me to instill in your kid using this engine of football, I would. So that's kind of what I would tell the parents. High school coaches, I know that from just year one last year, right, when I took this job. You get a lot of dad coaches, or I know football a lot, and it's like, Pops. I am who I am because I am who I am, and I trust me, I'm going to put your kid in the best position, right? I'm going to put your kid in the best position when it comes to this sport.
Listen, as a being a high school football coach, that's not easy, right? That's very similar. I mean, you are a teacher. You say you're not a teacher. You are a teacher. Yeah. You're a really important teacher, because I still remember my, you know, high school football coach, and I learned so much from, you know, from those days. Here's what we're seeing with the youth. This is a real big problem. So for the first time ever, a lot of educators are talking about this. For the first time ever, this generation is less cognitively prepared than the previous generation. We've always continued to improve for the last many generations, and this is the first generation that is starting to decline. A lot of it is because of the technology. They're always on their phones. They're distracted. They've got all these kinds of things. What are you seeing on the ground as a high school coach now with these 14 to 18-year-olds, and what are your tactics as far as keeping these kids focused on not, you know, in the classroom, obviously, but also on sport? Because when I go to the gym and I watch these kids, they spend literally more time on their Instagram and TikTok than they do doing a set. So they'll do a set and then they do, you know, 7 minutes on their phone and then they do another set. And when I watch that and when I see my kids doing it, I just explode. So I don't know what you do, but
There's no lazy kids, there's lazy parents. Don't be a lazy parent.
So that's what I was going to touch on. So I'm going to use David as an example because that's my friend. And obviously, he has about 20 years on me. So
yes, I do.
I think his generation of like my mom and my grandma, which he knows my mom and my grandma, what they instilled in me, right? I get to instill in the next generation. And for example, what I mean by that, so obviously there was no social media or the technology wasn't as big as when you guys were younger parents to you guys' kids, right? So conversation and interacting and those things was a lot more, right? Now moving to me being in the generation of parents, because I do think that's like what Dave said, there's a lot of lazy parents, but there's not a lot of adaptable parents. So the one way I adapt, right, when I grew up, it was the Marshall Faulks, it was the LaDainian Tomlinsons, it was the guys that I looked up to and admired to play in the NFL, but I only got to see them once a week, which was Sundays. Well, now what I try to do, these kids have role models, and now these role models usually, no matter if they're you guys' age, my age, right, if they're in certain areas or certain fields, they usually have some sort of access that shows a little bit more about their life than what it used to be when I was growing up. So what I try to do with the technology these days is, hey, you like Patrick Mahomes or you like Lamar Jackson or you like Kobe Bryant or you like LeBron James or, right, you like Dave Metzler or you like Gary Vee. Let's go to their content and let's see what they're doing. And within that, right, you try to give them perspectives of this is how they make this happen for this short clip. But look at all the hard work that goes into it, all the people that's around it, all the dedication that they puts into it. Like I've brought up Dave and other entrepreneurs, right, to my kids, to a bunch of people. Like, I know Dave wakes up really early in the morning just for the East Coast calls and the things you have to do. And it's kind of instilling in that and using the platforms to show those type of stories and those type of things out there, right, filtering them with the right content and not the content that they like to look at or they like to see on, like, structure their content to what their goals are and then show them how much hard work and how much dedication that take. And that's kind of how I've used the social media, right, the technology in my advance, right, to reach these kids.
What makes CJ Anderson a champion is he understands legacy. It's not just what he's going to leave, it's what he's teaching our next generation to leave, and that's what will continue to create that momentum. And I will, just to finish up, thank you. One of the greatest moments in my life was to take my young son to the Super Bowl after sitting with CJ's family, his mom and his grandmom, who loved on my son, but watch him run for 157 yards.
Come on now.
When everybody else thought his career was over. I said, it ain't over until you say it's over, CJ. And then he played for the Lions the next year as well. A true hero for his own community in his own backyard. Please, everybody, illustrate the compassion, the passion, and the purpose of a great leader. CJ Anderson, what an honor it is to have you be a part of Office Hours. Thank you for joining us.